All right. Welcome in to Toilets to Titles, episode number 33. This is week number 15 of the NFL season, and it is likely week number 2 for the fantasy football playoff season. With me this evening, we have a full house. I got my main man to the left. If you're watching on YouTube, that's Justin Stevens at JustinFF_Justin. What's cooking?
It was cooking some steak and mashed potatoes earlier tonight. The wife hooked me up, but now we're just cooking with the fantasy playoffs.
All right. And below me, if you're watching on the YouTube stream, is my dude, Nate. We got him back this week at Nate_dirt19 with the margarita in a can. Nate, what's happening?
Not a whole lot, man. It's good to be here. It's finally winter time, and I'm just happy to be here. My fantasy playoffs are, I guess I'm in, I think, 2 right now. That's about pretty sad, so I don't like to see how many it is. But, you know, we're going to keep chugging along. So,
speaking of chug, you got to show them the can.
If I can get a good picture here. Cutwater, tequila margarita. Hopefully I can shoot them in DM or something, get some of these bad boys for free, because they're pretty tasty. They're not short on alcohol, that's for sure.
Not short on alcohol. We'll be able to tell how strong they are as the show goes on and how loose Nate gets. All right, everybody, you know that you could find us on Twitter. I already said all of our Twitter handles. I'm at Coach Sheps. I guess I didn't mention that. But you can find the show on Twitter at Toilets to Titles, and we are currently working on getting a Facebook page. We're going to have that up and running pretty soon here. So we'll get you the details on that as soon as we have them.
By next week, and I want to tell the listeners that, because if I tell you that, then I will absolutely honor that, and I'll actually take the time. That it motivates me. You guys motivate me, so I'll make sure it's done by next week.
All right, so that'll be done. You heard it here first. We're going to have our Facebook page up and running by next week. The ways you guys can follow us, you can follow us on the ways you guys can listen to us, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Podbean, Periscope, Spotify, all that good stuff. Now, if you are listening to us on any of those, if there is a button that you can click to like, review, subscribe, whatever, if you could do that, that would be greatly appreciated. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Podbean or Spotify, if you could just go check out our YouTube link, you know, check out and subscribe, hit the like button, that would be greatly appreciated. We're going to be doing some giveaways going forward. I think one way to get entered multiple times is to go on there, subscribe, hit the like button, and then send us a picture. So when we're ready to do giveaways, you guys already have that done. If you go and do that now, and then you could just take a screens cap and send it over to us, and you're in the money. Beryl Joffrey, he won a Gardner Minshew autographed card right before Gardner Minshew came out last week and did all right. So I'm sure he was feeling well this week. Rich Gonzalez just hopped into the chat. He's streaming live. This dude is dedicated. Rich, what's cooking, man? It's nice to have you here. You guys all know you can stream live every Tuesday night with us. We go on about 9 p.m., sometimes around 9:05. So we always put the link on our Twitter handle. So come and join us next week for the Fantasy Football Championship. All right. I do want everybody to know we're doing Fantasy Cares. We had a pledge this season. Every 50 followers will be donating $10. We are at $110. I didn't update this on the show notes, but we're at $110. And I believe right now our last marker was 739, and we are at 753. So we are 14 towards another 50 followers. So I want to say 789. Once we get there, we will be at $120, and that'll end week 17, and boom, we will make the donation. So, guys, we got some injury news this week, only a little bit, but it's important that we touch on these things. Justin, why don't you take us through some of the week 15 injury news?
So first off, the one that's kind of big for fantasy purposes anyway, but especially for the Dolphins as an organization, is Devontae Parker and Mike Gesicki both out in the same game. Devontae Parker went out early in the game with a lower leg injury, and then Gesicki towards the end of the game with a shoulder injury. Gesicki is almost definitely out for at least a week, maybe even longer. And that's a shame because he started to come on a little bit here lately, and you probably had been holding on to him most of the season, waiting for him to do that. And then now, if Parker can't go this week, because we haven't quite heard his diagnosis just yet, but if he can't go this week and Gesicki isn't out there, Lynn Bowden has had 11 catches and 123 yards with two carries and even an incomplete pass over the last 2 weeks. And if you guys remember, in college, he played every position possible back there. I have a feeling that they're going to try to find ways to get this guy the ball, because he is a playmaker when he has the ball, and they're running out of playmakers. So
if you are familiar with what he did in college, I wrote an article on him prior to the draft season at fakepigskin.com. So you can go check out some stuff on Lynn Bowden Jr. Go to Fake Pigskin, look him up. You'll see my article, and I'll tell you all about it.
There you go. We love the plugs. Matt Stafford had he's got a rib injury from this last game. They think it's just like a cartilage injury. Nothing too major, but he is almost assuredly going to be out this week. And when he is out, it'll be Chase Daniel at the helm. Sam Debo, or Debo Samuel, as I probably should have read that.
Sam Debo. I think that's what we need to call him from now on.
Sam Debo. Yeah. I'll have to get that on a sound drop. But he got a hamstring this week, so he's going to be out. Most people are saying he's likely done for the rest of the 2020 season. At the very least, he's definitely missing this week and probably next, which is the end of your fantasy season. Either way, now's the time for Brandon Ayuk to shine. The only real update we have is Brandon Cooks, because that does affect the fantasy landscape as far as wide receivers go for the Houston Texans. Brandon Cooks is likely going to be back this week. He was only out the 1 week for a concussion, and from what I read, he probably – I think he even cleared the protocol and could have played last week, but they wanted to take extra precaution because of his history with concussions. So he's most likely going to be a go this week.
One injury you didn't mention that I did want to bring up, Deontay Johnson, his hands. How are they doing after last week's game?
Well, the hands, actually, after the x-rays have confirmed that there is no major injury. However, the ego attached to them are completely trashed. We don't know exactly what this is going to do for his future fantasy projections, but I will say it set them, those hands, the ego behind the hands actually kind of set him back an entire quarter when he got benched this week. So we're hoping that his confidence can help boost that ego up a little bit more, because without the ego, you know, wide receivers aren't anything.
He went 4 for 40 in the second half. So
yeah.
You know, they sat him, but you know what an alpha does? An alpha comes out after all those drops, after getting benched for a half, and comes out and shows out. So we're going to find out a lot about Deontay Johnson this week after being benched the whole – because no one was talking about this prior to last week. Everybody's acting like they were talking about his hands being an issue all season. No, the first time I heard about it being a big issue was during the game once he got benched. Everybody piled on. So we'll see if he's soft. Or if we'll see if he's made of something this week.
I thought somebody wrote an article about Deontay Johnson saying he should switch to running back because he can't catch.
Where was this?
I was on Twitter. I'll find it for you and send it to you. Yeah, that's real.
Dude, he's whatever. People overreaction. He's
a little bit.
We'll see what he's made of, how he comes out this week, and how he produces. Because I think Ben's a veteran. Ben's smart. Ben wants his wide receivers locked in. Ben will know if he can target this kid early on. And if he can, I think he'll target him early and often to try to get his confidence back up. So this could be a big game. I could see Deontay killing it. I could see him having like 12 targets, 8 receptions, 130 yards, you know. But on the other end of it, it could be a complete dud if the guy falls off the cliff. But that's enough Steelers talking off Deontay Johnson. I just felt like it was worth bringing up. All right, so games of the week. Nate, I'm going to let you go first. You missed last week, so I want you to tell us about your game of the week.
So what I'm looking forward to is the Patriots at the Dolphins. I'm just excited to see what the Dolphins do after that game. You know, I think it's pretty clear that the Chiefs can kind of just do whatever they want, it almost seems like. You know, when they decide to turn it on and score, they're going to score in a hurry. You know, and I think the Dolphins look well. I'm still waiting to see more from Tua. I think I heard something, you know, passes over 25 yards or something like that. He's only completed 2. You know, they need big plays, and they got Devontae Parker. You know, I guess he's hurt right now, but you know, they need big plays to win games, and their defense is incredible. You know, I'm just looking forward to see what the Patriots do. I think I said, or I looked at the Dolphins are 3-1 this year after a loss. They're also 10-3 against the spread this year. So if you're looking to bet them, it'd be a good one to take. So, yeah, I'm just looking forward to that one. That'll be fun.
All right. The game, my game of the week is a 1 p.m. game on Sunday. It is the Seahawks at the Washington football team. The Washington football team is on a 4-game winning streak and is 1 game away from 500. Like, who would have thunk that, you know, week 15, you know, the NFC East is like finally getting close to have a team that's relevant. And they've looked pretty good, man. The Hawks beat the Eagles by 5 before losing to the Giants by 5 the following week. So I think the NFC East, for some reason, gives the Seahawks a hard time. So after a cupcake matchup versus the New York Jets, the Seahawks now have to go back, play the NFC East again, and they face a Washington Redskins defense that is, it means business. And I think Russell Wilson's going to be on the go. He's going to be getting hit early and often. And I'm very interested to see, you know, how this defense plays against that offense and how the Seahawks respond. Because, again, they didn't look good against the Giants and they didn't really look good against the Eagles. So this is a big matchup. And if the Washington football team wins it, they're going to be 500 going into week 16. So I think this game looks very good. It's in at 1 p.m. I'm ready for that one. So, Justin, what is your game of the week?
I got the Thursday night football matchup with the Raiders again. I don't know what it is about this team. I can't quit this team now. Like, it's so interesting to me. Every single week, something crazy or fluky happens with their game. So it's been a lot of fun watching them this year. Even though, like, you'll pull your hair out one week and you'll be cheering like crazy the next week. I'm not even a Raiders fan. It's insane. But both of these teams have portrayed average to below average and sometimes even really bad defense nearly each and every single week this year. So I chose this as my game of the week, the Chargers at the Raiders for Thursday night football, because of the fantasy football implications with the two not so great defenses. And this is the second week of the fantasy playoff, so this is where you want big points. I believe that Josh Jacobs, Derek Carr, Darren Waller, and insert Raiders wide receiver this week here, along with Herbert, Eckler, Hunter Henry, and insert whichever Chargers wide receiver here, at least Keenan Allen, we know, should all have big weeks for your playoffs this playoffs matchups this week.
All right. All right. So why don't we got this new thing we're doing with the Thrive promo. So Justin, let's hit that button and get it rolling.
Yeah, real quick, Rich brought up a really good point. A new defense this week, and that's because after this week, this embarrassment that the Raiders took this week on their home field by my Colts, they went out and fired their defensive coordinator, right? So so now he thinks there's going to be a new defense this week. Maybe there's going to be a new attitude, but I don't know about a new defense.
I heard they're bringing in Greg Williams.
Zero.
Yeah, so there's already a bounty out, right?
Yeah, that's it. Philip Rivers.
All right, here's your Thrive Fantasy app promo. And now we'd like to give you an opportunity to help us out, give you a chance to do this commercial read for us, and most importantly, put a little extra jingle in your pockets. All you have to do is download the Thrive Fantasy app and deposit anywhere from $20 to $50 into your new Thrive account. But make sure you enter that promo code T2T. That obviously stands for Toilets to Titles, T2T. Then Thrive will double your money for you to place bets with. You then place prop bets on players and get points based on how they perform on the field. You compare your points to everyone else within your group for that week and win money based on how you finish. Then get back with us and let us know how well you did, and we just might pick you to do this read for us.
All right, so it could be you. Get that Thrive app, place those bets, use that promo code, and let us know about it. And that could be you reading that promo, and that would be that'd be pretty great for us to have the listener win some money and then get to do a promo for us on the show. That'd be a lot of fun. All right, Nate, what lines are we betting this week?
So the first one, talking about Justin's Thursday night game he's looking forward to, I'm liking the Chargers +3.5 against the Raiders. I know they fired their defensive coordinator, but I don't really think that's the problem. There's, you know, the personnel, I think, is more of an issue for them. You know, they're too soft on the edges, and I think that, you know, Eckler's going to have a day. They can't really cover the pass either. So, you know, hopefully Herbert and the boys will be able to put some easy points up on them. I think the Raiders are 2-4 at home this year, so that doesn't really help them either. You know, I don't think that I know that, like I said, there's not really much tape on what the defense is going to be for Herbert, but I would imagine that with Gruden at the helm, they'll try to run some sort of Tampa 2 or something like that, you know, like in his old days. But I'm not real confident in the Raiders going forward. My next one is the Colts, -7. Got the Texans coming to town. T.Y. Hilton went off when they went down to Houston before. The Colts, I just looked it up and I lost it. Where'd it go? Colts are 4-2 at home this year, which I also like. I think Rivers is starting to get a little more comfortable. That line looks great. Jonathan Taylor looked phenomenal last weekend, which we all knew he was capable of. And I don't think, you know, Deshaun by himself is going to have an answer for that defense. And he got the crap beat out of him last weekend. You know, that hit he took, it's just sad to see him. You know, I don't want him to retire early because he's just getting the crap beat out of him. So hopefully, I got him to say next year, they'll figure something out, but probably not. So, and then my last one, or well, I guess before I have my locks, last one I got my eye on was Seattle and the Washington football team under 44.5. I don't think that I think Russell's going to have some trouble moving the ball on him. I really do. That defensive front is nasty. Last week was the first time since 1992 that the Redskins didn't score a touchdown on offense and won a game. So their defense is capable of keeping them in games, which, you know, I know defense wins championships, like they said, but that defense is very good. And I think Russ is going to have a hard time. I mean, he's getting sacked by quite, you know, by about anybody. And I don't think he's going to be able to get away from them. And Washington can't score on offense. So under 44.5 seems pretty solid to me. And then my locks of the week, I got the Packers -8.5. They obviously have to score a lot of points to win because their defense is awful, probably worse than the Raiders. And
how did that happen? How did that happen? The Packers defense was like carrying them last year, and then what the hell happened?
Well, they can't stop the run. They can't get any pressure up front.
What happened? Like, did somebody get hurt? Like, what happened?
No, I don't know what it's not even like the scheme change. They've been doing the same thing all the time. You know, they ran a bunch of nickel last weekend, which I thought was pretty dumb against the Lions, but whatever. I don't know what the problem is. Special teams wise, I mean, you know, you kick a 58-yard field goal and then you let them run the ball back 70 yards. You know, that you can't do that. So obviously Aaron looks phenomenal this year. You know,
I just saw that he's got 39 touchdown passes and yep. The punter's only got 38 punts.
Yeah. Pretty good. But, you know, it's sad for me. I talked to a friend about this today. You know, no changes were made from last year, so it's going to be the same thing all over. I'm sure we'll make it quite a run in the playoffs and can't stop the run. But McCaffrey's not playing, I don't think. And, you know, I think that they'll be able to score at will against the Panthers. And then my last one that I like lock-wise anyways, I like the Bills -7 going to see old Drew Locke in Denver. The Bills – looked great. Josh Allen looked awesome last weekend. You know, I know Justin called it them. Well, they were going to beat him anyways and give them their first loss, but they lost to the Washington football team. So I think that the Bills will handle the Broncos no problem. Like I said, Josh Allen's too much for them to handle. I think they're the second best team in the AFC right now. And, you know, they'll show it on Sunday. I think it's Sunday.
All right, that's it. Those are the lines you need to bet. And you can see all those lines and you can see the rest of our segments over at FusionFFB.com. Go over there, check it out. All of our show notes are in there. You can see everything. So if you want to transfer it, you know, you want to look over the dudes and duds, you want to look over the betting lines while you're placing your bets, whatever, it'll be there. So you don't have to write this stuff down or remember it all. We got you covered. FusionFFB.com. All right. So dudes and duds this week, week 15 version. This is a big one. There's a lot of pressure, you know, to get this correct, because I got to help you guys make those tough decisions, you know, going in. If you made it this far, you know, I don't want to mess things up for you. So I did a lot of thinking this week and I'm feeling pretty good about these dudes and duds. So a dude this week, Ben Roethlisberger at Cincinnati. The Steelers are reeling, but there's nothing like a familiar bad opponent to get them back on track. Last time the Steelers faced the Bengals, which was week 10, Ben threw for 333 yards and 4 touchdowns. Look for Pittsburgh to get back on track, get comfortable, and get it rolling again. QB2, Jared Goff versus the New York Jets. The Jets secondary has let up 7 passing touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. This is an outstanding home matchup for Jared Goff. Look for Goff to pad his stats going into the end of the year. Start both of those guys with confidence. Running back, J.K. Dobbins versus Jacksonville. The Ravens should go up early in this game, and they'll lean heavily on the rushing attack as the game goes on to keep the clock ticking. Look for Dobbins to have a heavy workload against the poor Jaguars rushing defense. David Montgomery at Minnesota. Monty has been a dude for me the last 3 weeks, and it's been working out. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Start him up. Watch him eat. Wide receiver Corey Davis versus Detroit. The Lions have let up the third most passing yards this season. Davis took a bat seat to Derrick Henry and A.J. Brown last week after tallying 11 receptions for 182 yards and a tutty the week prior. Davis will get back on track this week against that poor Detroit Lions secondary. Wide receiver Terry McLaurin versus Seattle. Coming off of his two worst performances of the year, I expect Terry to bounce back. Alex Smith should be a go, and that means Terry should be able to capitalize on a great matchup against a bad Seahawks secondary. DK Metcalf is going to be the talk of the town going into this game. Terry McLaurin is going to be the talk of the town going out of it. I'm telling you that much right now. And then finally at tight end, Tyler Higbee versus the New York Jets. The Jets have let up the most TDs to opposing tight ends this season, 12, all right? And the third most receiving yards to opposing tight ends, 831. Higbee's due. He's going to eat this week. Start him up. All right, duds, Tua Tagovailoa. we need a drop for his name, man. I'm going to have to record it just so we can drop it. Tua versus New England. Bill has done a good job of shutting down QBs this season. Tua will be the next in line to get that treatment from the Patriots. Cam Newton at Miami. So both quarterbacks in this game are duds. I'm sitting both these guys. Cam has scored 5 points twice over the last 3 weeks. 5 points twice. That's terrible. All right. The Miami defense gave Mahomes some fits. It's not looking good for Cam this week. Running back Ezekiel Elliott versus the San Francisco 49ers. San Fran's front seven is another tough test for Zeke. Unfortunately, it is another test he will not pass. Shut him down and hope for better things next season when Dak is back. Running back James Conner at Cincinnati. The Steelers' rushing attack has been very meh. I look for Pittsburgh to air it out this week and try to make a statement that calls for not much from James Conner and a lot from those wide receivers. Robbie Anderson at Green Bay. Anderson will be held head-to-head with Jair Alexander in a cold Lambeau Field. I don't like the chances of him doing anything significant this week. Shut him down. Tyler Lockett at Washington. NFC's teams have given the Seahawks fits, like I said earlier. Russell will be under pressure early and often, and he'll need to get the ball out quickly. The big play will be taken away, and that will limit what Lockett can do. Finally, Zach Ertz at Arizona. If you've been holding on to Ertz with hopes that he'd come in the clutch during the playoffs, it ain't going to happen. He's now second in the pecking order behind Dallas Goedert, and he hasn't had time to build chemistry with Jalen Hurts. Shut him down. Don't count on him. So those are the dudes and duds. Again, go to FusionFFB.com if you want to check them out. Justin, let's get some streamers.
Hey, real quick. So you're one of your dudes here. Tyler Higbee, I completely agree with you, by the way.
Thank you.
Evidently, so does somebody else, because I got a message earlier, somebody showing interest in Gerald Everett. Desperate for a tight end, and they have a tight end premium league. Would you say that a late second is fair for Gerald Everett, or am I asking too much?
In a tight end premium?
Yeah.
And the person's desperate?
Yeah.
I'd want a mid-second. I'd want or a late second and a 2022 third.
Okay, desperate. Even though
give me. Go ahead.
So even though his stats are relatively low all season long,
why do they want him?
Just because they're desperate, like they need.
I'll take that second for him.
They're in the play.
I'll take that second.
But are they going to start him?
Yeah, most likely for this week at least in the playoffs.
Now, think about it this way. So this is a guy they're going to start. Now, in the late second rounder, are you finding a starter late second round? You know, if you're lucky, you're finding a starter. Or you're finding a guy with potential and upside that. So, I mean, this guy, I'm not saying he's a starter every week, but they're starting him in the playoffs. You know what I mean? What are you going to get at the end of the second round that you're going to start in the playoffs? Unless you hit on a guy like Ayuk, what he was early second. What are some guys that went late second? Maybe like a Michael Pittman. Now he was probably early second too. So I don't know. I think it's fair to ask for a second. You know, for sure.
Okay, he has 3 seconds, and I asked for a. He had two that were really late. I asked for one of those because his other second is an early second, and I think that's a bit too much. It's actually like
what if you package? What if you package like a third with Gerald Everett for the early second?
Just ask for the early second. Hell, shoot or shoot, man.
Yeah, I could ask.
Do you have a third?
I sent it like 3.5 hours ago, but it was about 3 hours after he asked me for interest because I was busy.
Right. Do you have a late third?
I can actually look right now.
Because if you do, I would package him with the third for an early second.
No, I do not. I don't have a second, third, or fourth.
What about a 2022 third?
That I do.
If you can move him, I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask, you know?
I'd try it without before, like you said. When are you going to start Gerald Everett? You know, if you can get that early second for him, might as well give it a shot.
Yeah, but I feel like since I already sent that offer and it's been out for 3.5 hours.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Well, I think a second. You're doing all right if you're turning him into a second.
For the early, you know, I'm gonna send a second offer though, where I give him that third for the early second, and then maybe sure. He might think a little bit more and take that other offer.
That's out I think there. It's fair. I think it's a good deal.
Right on.
All right, now streamers. We got some streamers for you, Justin. What do you got?
Yes, sir. I got some streamers. All right. So first off, another great week. Actually, this is probably the best week I've had yet.
Bragger, right?
Yeah, right. I have humble to. Brag. I've got to keep going. You know, I'm on a roll, so I'm going to take advantage of it. Last week, the only one I really missed on was Philip Lindsay, and I kind of feel like that was more Philip Lindsay's fault because he didn't perform.
That thing stinks. I don't know why you guys like him so much. I'm done with that guy.
I don't like him, but he had a great
John likes him, sorry.
I do.
So
I like him because he's little, he's spry, he's tough. Like he was doing good, man. He got hurt. He was doing better than Melvin Gordon, but Melvin Gordon all of a sudden is like alive. That dude is rolling. I thought that dude was basic. I thought Melvin Gordon was basic. And he's
like Ron Dane, but just like half the weight. Just to come out of Wisconsin.
Ron Dane. That was the best thing that happened to me, Ron Dane, when the Giants drafted him.
I love that guy.
Sorry, Justin. We're cutting into a segment.
You're good. No, absolutely. No, I agree with everything. Like, I just thought that Lindsay was going to have a great opportunity to pick up some carries last week, and evidently Denver agrees that Gordon is that much better now. The ones I hit on, Philip Rivers was a low end QB1. I promised he would be a top 15. He would have a top 15 performance. Andy Dalton was a mid QB2. So two quarterback leagues, if you were streaming, then maybe it was worth it if you were able to get him. McKissick with 10.6 PPR points, Tim Patrick, 12.6, LaVisca Chenault, 11.1. Washington's defense and special teams was likely the number one defense in your league, depending on the scoring format. And the Niners were also a top 12. And then KJ Hamler went off for 22.6 PPR points. If I remember right, that was on two catches for two touchdowns. So that one was luck, but I'll take it. Let's see. This week's streamers. I'm rolling with Philip Rivers again. I said last week that he's finally earned my trust in fantasy formats. I like the way that the Colts are utilizing him, and I've even grown to the point where I may not be completely too awfully upset if the Colts decide to re-sign him for next season, if they feel like Jacob Eason is the way to go, or if they get another quarterback in the rookie draft. That might be worthwhile. I don't know, but I do think we need a long-term plan, but I'm kind of starting to come around on Rivers a bit. And I never thought I would say that. But yeah, it takes a lot of change.
14 weeks, no big deal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You just needed to see him in a Colts jersey for like 14 weeks.
Yeah. Honestly, I still don't think he has what it takes to win the playoffs, but
I thought you were going to say you still don't think he has what it takes to be a Colt. I thought that's what you're gonna say.
I still don't think that he's worthy of being a Colt just because of his. is
because he can't throw it 40 yards.
Piss poor negative attitude and the fact that he flipped off the
field. That dude is upbeat all the time.
Yeah, he's always angry. Look at him.
Nate's a closet Rivers fan.
He's got that forehead look where he's like, he's always, I don't know.
Bolo
always...
tie.
All right. Hates it. But plus, also, he's got 9 kids, so I could kind of understand a little bit of anger from time to time.
Hey, tell Rich, do they go and get Wentz? No, they don't. Nobody's getting Wentz. Wentz is staying in Philly. There's too much money. Nobody's going to give you anything for a guy that they owe $100 million to in the next 2 years. They're stuck with him.
You know who's getting Wentz? The Canadian Football League. That's where Wentz is going. Wentz, he already played in North Dakota. He's going up north.
Yeah.
Wentz is going to the Canadian Football League, and he's going to go praise Jesus and throw touchdown passes on that weird-looking field.
In 2 years, somebody might get him. Like I said, though, nobody's going to pay for that. That contract, you know, nobody's paying for it.
Damn, Joshua's calling you out, Justin. He's calling you out for that boom, man. Joshua, you've gone pretty like Hollywood. You're almost kind of borderline prima donna now with that boom.
Winning has changed. What do you mean by winning has changed? I'm in 20 lineup setting leagues and I'm only still in 5 of them. So I'm bad.
Talking about the Colts.
So that's 5 times. You're a winner 5 times.
I got you. Is winning games for the Colts has changed.
He's talking about your microphone, bro. He's saying winning has changed you. Now you got a boom. You're like professional. You're becoming big time.
I got really lucky and I fell into an awesome network with Moonlight and Outdoors. So we'll drop a little drop for them in a little bit. I had a thought in my head about winning, like Philip Rivers winning. I still thought Philip Rivers was going to win games here, just so everybody knows, so everybody's clear. It's just that the way that he's winning games I like because it gives him a better opportunity in the playoffs, because the way that he was playing would not win in the playoffs, even though I still don't think they will. But anyway, accepting Rivers. Ha, ha, ha. Yep. Yeah,
I was wrong. I misinterpreted.
You earned that laugh, Josh. I was on Joshua's show, and we had one of his fake fights. If you guys haven't listened to Fusion Fantasy Football fake fights, you got to go back and listen to them. I was on his show and had a fake fight with him over all the reasons why the Colts should not sign Philip Rivers. And like a week later, they signed Philip Rivers. So he was right. I was wrong. Now, on that note, let's move on. Philip Rivers against Houston 2 weeks ago. Rivers had 285 yards and 2 touchdowns with no turnovers. Houston has not gotten better with every single game. Indy is looking better and better. So I really like Rivers for this week. Jalen Hurts had 106 rushing yards in his rookie starting debut, 167 passing yards with a touchdown as well. And that was against the Saints, who have a pretty solid all around defense. So, let's see. I already said that. the other two real mobile quarterbacks that the Cardinals have faced, because that's who they play this week. That's who Jalen Hurts plays this week. The other two mobile quarterbacks that they've faced is Josh Allen and Russell Wilson. Josh Allen had his 4th best rushing game against the Cardinals, and Russell Wilson had an average of 8 carries for 63 yards over the 2 games that he played against the Cardinals. So they do still struggle against running quarterbacks. And obviously, that's where Hurts is going to excel. He's going to cash in on that fantasy football cheat code and have a huge day. Jeff Wilson is my running back streamer, one of my running back streamers. Wilson has been the only consistent or the only constant in the 49ers backfield over the last 3 weeks. And when I say constant, I mean you know what you're getting out of him. You're going to get about 7 carries. You're going to get about 30 or 40 yards. You're going to get the potential for a touchdown. If you're streaming running backs this late into the playoffs, then that's what you need at least from your flex and hope that he gets that touchdown. And it's against Dallas, so there is that good potential for that touchdown. But if you can get Gus Edwards, that's the guy you want to get. Gus plays Jacksonville this week. That alone should be enough to start the Gus bus. But over the last 2 weeks, Gus has averaged 7 carries for 75 yards and a touchdown per game over the last 2 weeks. That's all. That's almost 11 yards per rush. So you got to be ready for that negative regression. There's no way he can continue to average 11 yards per rush. But I doubt that Jacksonville is going to be the team that's going to really stop that. They might slow him down like a little speed bump. But the Ravens and Gus with the Ravens, Gus has earned a larger role. And even though J.K. Dobbins is also playing really well, I still got to believe that. I mean, you can't stream Dobbins. He's owned in over 80% of the leagues, and Edwards is owned more like in around 25% of redraft leagues. But I still believe that he's earned enough of a role that he's going to get a lot of looks. I only have one wide receiver that I'm going to talk about. It's really same with tight ends and defenses. It's a tough streaming week for me. But Gabriel Davis is still unowned in a whole lot of leagues. Like, I think on ESPN, he's still available in 92% of ESPN leagues. And he has scored a touchdown in each of the last 3 weeks. So he should be getting picked up. But I should have been on him a lot more earlier in the season, but he was kind of flying under the radar. But since John Brown has went on IR since their bye week in week 10, Davis has been a great asset to the very few fantasy teams that have actually picked him up. In each of the last 3 weeks, he's recorded 3 catches and 3 touchdowns. No more, no less. 3 catches and 3 touchdowns in each of the last 3 weeks. Or three catches with a touchdown. So 3 touchdowns more, or a touchdown in each. He's averaging 18.5 yards per catch. Denver's pass defense is pretty good, but if you're streaming wide receivers at this point, you may not find anybody with a higher touchdown opportunity than Gabriel Davis. My tight end was on coach's studs for this week, Tyler Higbee. Higbee is facing the worst team in the league against tight ends this week in the Jets, and he is unowned in 50% of redraft leagues. He's a great one-week streamer that should get you 8 PPR points at the bare minimum with a potential to score. And then the Browns defense at the New York Giants this week. The Giants give up the second most fantasy points to defenses. The Browns are looking really good on offense, which should play should help them be able to play with the lead and play into their favor. Daniel Jones didn't have a single rushing attempt in week 14, and we know that he loves to run the football. So he looked very limited on his mobility this week with that hamstring injury. And I've been saying it all along that I think that the Giants organization is definitely talking down this injury. I think it's a lot worse than what they're saying it is, but he can still throw. Don't get me wrong. Like, he still has the ability to throw anyway, but that ability hasn't really shined much this season, all season anyway. Other streamers to consider: Derek Carr, Zach Moss, Jamal Williams, Michael Pittman, Cole Kmet, Logan Thomas, Jared Cook, and the Bills and Cardinals defenses.
All right. That's some juicy ones there. All right. DFS plays for the week. I use DraftKings.com, and this is my lineup, all right? So I'm going with Roethlisberger, who was on my dudes list at 6,500. I'm going with Jonathan Taylor versus Houston at 7,200. This kid has been hot, very hot. I'm riding that thing. I got Dobbins versus Jacksonville at 5,900. Again, he was on my dudes list as well. We got Terry McLaurin versus Seattle at 6,600. Corey Davis versus Detroit at 5,800, and then Cole Beasley at Denver at 4,700. This guy has a super high ceiling. Stephon Diggs is going to get a lot of attention this week, and I think Cole Beasley is going to excel out there in Denver in the cold. That guy's gritty. He's tough. He don't care. He's going to get it done. I got Tyler Higbee versus the Jets at 3,800. I got Brandon Ayuk at Dallas at 6,300. If you got Brandon Ayuk on your roster, I don't care. This guy is on fire. I'm starting him over almost anybody right now. Anybody. This guy is just getting it done. No questions. Start Brandon Ayuk. Put him in the flex at Dallas, 6,300. Dallas can't cover anybody. They can't cover slot wide receivers. They haven't been doing it all season. Ayuk is going to win you a lot of money. He should be in everybody's DraftKings lineups this week. Even if you don't put anybody else that I have here today in one of your lineups in DraftKings, Brandon Ayuk needs to be, because he's going to go for 2 touchdowns, 150 yards. He's eating against that Dallas secondary. As long as he stays healthy, if he stays on the field, he's getting it done. And then finally, 49ers defense at Dallas, 3,100. They got linebackers. Even Fred Warner is a little banged up, but I think Dre Greenlaw, he's a stud. I think that that front line is a bunch of studs. They're, that Dallas offensive line is poor, and this front seven is going to get after Andy Dalton, and they're going to force him into some turnovers. And I think that they're going to have a big outing. So that's my DFS lineup for the week. Justin, what you got for Turtleheads?
I do have Turtlehead. What's that?
I was going to say, I know, well, you're on Dobbins a couple times, and then Justin said about Gus Edwards. Mark Ingram did not see the field last week, so that's kind of a bump to both those guys that they're going to move on from him. I think, I mean, I kind of saw the writing on the wall, but, you know, it's just more time for Gus and Dobbins, so bumps to both your guys there.
They're phasing Ingram out, man.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Definitely. Yeah, and I have Ayuk in my big main league, so I'll definitely be starting him this week. And I'm starting Hill and Thielen as my two wide receivers with Ayuk in the flex. So I'm feeling pretty good. But I will say that Dougie Fresh, who gets in here on our chat a lot, who may watch this episode, he's who I'm playing this week, and he has killer matchups. So I'm probably going down this week, but it's not going to be because of Ayuk. My turtle head for this week is actually going to be Paris Campbell. So again, with turtle heads, they're kind of hard to gauge this late into the season for redraft purposes. So I'm leaning more towards dynasty purposes. Paris Campbell, I still believe that he has the speed and the ability to be a solid wide receiver, at least a solid number two, and which is fitting for a turtle head or guy in this Colts offense for many years to come. He can be had for real cheap right now, and as long as he can break this injury, I mean, these injuries are not likely to happen. It's not likely to continue to go on like this every year. Eventually, he's going to break that funk. Eventually, he's going to break out, and when he does, you can get him cheap right now. As a matter of fact, if you're talking trades with somebody and they have Paris Campbell in their roster, you might be able to just kind of throw him in as a throw-in guy so you can get him now.
All right, man. Go get yourself some Paris Campbell. All right, we wrapped this thing up quick this week. Nate came in. Nate brought the heat, and we wrapped this thing up. You guys got anything you want to touch on? I feel like we got a few more minutes here. Anything we should touch on? Go ahead, Nate.
I saw a question from Rich that we breezed by.
Go ahead.
And that went away. Oh, he said, I think JT or Robinson this week. What are you asking?
Man, is there any way you could start them both? Like, who's the other guy? Who's the third? We need to know who the third back is that you'd be starting over either of those two, because there's also a flex spot. So,
yeah.
But am I cheating the question there a little bit? Justin, who are you starting?
Derrick Henry. Yeah, well, he's kind of good, so.
Who are you starting?
JT.
Yeah.
Without hesitation. I don't know, like, because – earlier in the season, like I've been saying for most of the season, I feel like there's only one reason why the Colts would not be playing Jonathan Taylor as much as they should be, and that is to save the rookie, because he's used to only playing 9 or 10 games a season. He's used to he's not used to playing 16 games plus a playoff, and they've had playoff aspirations all season. So now's the time to get him out there and get him rolling and get him ready, and then next season they'll be able to roll him as the full every down back.
I get it, and JT's a dude, 100%. But James Robinson is having one of the best rookie seasons of an undrafted free agent, like, ever. Like, so we can't, like, JT's, I think, the better option going forward from here on out. But this is still the 2020 season, and James Robinson is having a pretty phenomenal one. So
James Robinson's also playing against Baltimore, too, though. I don't know if that – now, Baltimore's defense has not been that great the last few weeks.
You see what
Nick Chubb did well last night.
Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, man, they both killed it. Yeah. So I think it's tough. I think it's a tough one. I'd want to start them both. I agree. I'm just playing devil's advocate. I think JT is the play here, but I don't think it's, you know, I think it's close. The Ravens are 13th against the run. So last week, they let up 28 points to Kareem Hunt and 24 to Nick Chubb. That's 52 points between the two of them on the ground.
Yeah, but he's not to that level.
No. And Gardner Minshew is not Baker Mayfield. Not that Baker's that good. But
is he? Is he not?
No.
He's been – look at QBR. Baker's been like a – he's been a money this year, even though he whatever. But
as far as actual football goes, Minshew is not good. Like, he gets you fantasy points because he can throw it up deep and hope for the best, and he's got the legs to for that running fantasy cheat code that we talk about. But man – I just do not like Minshew at all.
I think he's a poor man's Baker Mayfield. I think they're cut from the same, same tree, different branch, you know.
Got a foot.
George.
Did he play the whole game last week, or he came in?
No, he came in. Sky Cam Mike Glennon started it.
Because he threw 178 yards and a touchdown against the Titans.
I thought this week he actually started. I thought it was the previous week that he came in.
He's starting this week. Last week he came. Oh, isn't that right? Yeah, Mike Glennon started last week.
Yeah, he came in the third quarter. He came in the third quarter and threw for 178 yards and a touchdown.
Did they win?
Yeah, the Titans defense isn't good. So
Jaguars should not be beating the Titans, though.
They should not beat the Jaguars.
All right, well, we just got into a little look at that. Rich got us from JT and Robinson to Gardner Minshew and Baker Mayfield. All right, anything else? We got any other questions in here we want to touch on before we dip?
Yeah, so somebody here is asking for a friend. Gabriel Davis or Kiki Kuti?
It's got to be Kuti, man. I'm afraid to start Watson this week, honestly. I'm afraid to start him because he's got nobody to throw the ball to. But you said Cooks might be back. I still think it's Kuti, but I like Gabriel Davis, man. I like him. I'm going to have him – if I do any startup drafts this year, I'll be getting a lot of him. You know, kind of like, you know, I got a lot of Slayton, you know, and Slayton hasn't been really paying out. But I kind of see similar things I like from both those guys. And I like Gabe Davis. I like him going forward. But this week, I think it's Kuti. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think just because there's nobody else to throw the ball to, and I think they'll have some garbage time. I know that Colts defense is, you know, quite a bit better than the Broncos, but I think that's kind of Watson's guy right now, him or Jordan Akins, and even if Cooks is back. So
yeah. All it takes is two or three shots, too, though, if he's going vertical.
Kuti played the Colts 2 weeks ago. He had 8 catches for 141 yards. So that's pretty impressive. So you said, John, you had Zeke Elliott as a dud this week.
Correct.
That means that it's not like it's like highly likely that if you owned him, you would be benching him this week.
I so you want to hear a lineup where I do own him?
Yeah.
We all own him in one. I got him in one too. I'm going to bench him.
I own him in
where the line is.
I own him in fictional, okay. And this week I am starting Jonathan Taylor and Chris Carson, and Ezekiel Elliott is on the bench.
Okay, yeah, I could definitely see that. What about yours, Nate? You said you're benching him as well?
Well, I guess – I don't know if I – the problem is my only options are Jordan Wilkins or Jamal Williams. I guess I got Gus Edwards. Hell, I can fire up Gus Edwards.
No.
Over Zeke.
No,
starting J.K. Dobbins.
Is Jeff Wilson available? I'd consider starting Jeff Wilson. I might start Tony Pollard in a league that I'm still clearly in the playoffs. I think Tony Pollard might actually do a little more damage out of the backfield than Zeke's going to do, you know, rushing between the tackles this week. I think it's more of a Pollard week than a Zeke week.
Yeah, it seems like he already has been doing better. And then also with Pollard, the thing is, like, even when Zeke outperforms him fantasy-wise, it's like Pollard's presence are the – His plays are the ones that actually make a difference on the field for the Cowboys.
Now, I don't think we could get like hung up on that, you know, when it comes to football, because I do think Zeke is a better player. But, you know, it reminds me a lot of when we had DeMarco Murray and when we had Joseph Randle. Joseph Randle, you know, came in and he had juice, you know, in between. And like with his kind of handful of plays, you know, he had the juice and he was exciting. But when DeMarco Murray was gone, Joseph Randle was, you know, just it didn't work out. So I think Zeke helps Pollard, and I think Pollard's great for the offense. But now I don't think Well, we'll see. You know, maybe we'll see Zeke gone within a year or two, and maybe Pollard will get a chance because he is electric as hell. But you know, I'm just kind of I'm reserved a little bit to give him to anoint him as a you know RB1. You know.
Yeah.
I think I got to leave Zeke in. Unfortunately, I don't really have a choice. I don't trust Jamal Williams. I just got some bad news today. My formal farewell to Aaron Jones. It's been fun. You got a new agent today. So he will no longer be a Packer after this year because they won't pay him with Drew Rosenhaus. So thank you. Thanks for the memories, buddy.
Where's he going?
Whoever's got a lot of money. New York Jets, probably.
Where's that? Jets. Man, do you think the Jets will do that again?
If Adam Gates is gone, they might.
Where else? Where else could he go?
Somewhere else I thought of. I can't remember
think,
now.
Could it be Seattle? You think if Chris Carson goes, you think they would pay Aaron Jones?
What about Atlanta?
Yeah, I could see Atlanta. Atlanta because Gurley's terrible. Gurley and Ryan are both killing me. The Falcons need to be tanking to get a quarterback because Matt Ryan has been absolutely awful this season.
He's also been owed like $100-some million over the next 2 or 3 years, so he ain't going anywhere.
He'll bounce back next year.
I hope so, because I got him everywhere.
That's Ryan being Ryan, only this year's low is lower than low. Ryan does that. He's got a roller coaster career. What about – here's my line for Zeke. Zach Moss, he's playing Denver, who's pretty weak against the run. I'm Zach Moss, Singletary, like those guys splitting, I'm still considering starting them over Zeke Elliott.
I get it, man. I completely get it. I'm starting Moss in a league, and because I really have no other options. I hope Moss is a big week, man. I really do.
You guys pulled Jalen Hurts off the taxi squad in the 2QB dynasty to start him over Kirk Cousins or Russell Wilson. Probably not over Russ, obviously, but maybe that defense.
Man, I don't think I could start him over Russ because even though you know I got Russ, you know I think he's gonna have a bad outing. I just don't know if Hurts' ceiling is as high as Russ's floor. You know what I mean? Yeah, It's tough.
I think Hurts will struggle a little more against the Cardinals. I think they'll have a better game plan than the Saints did.
Who does Minnesota have this week? Detroit?
Yeah. No.
I just Green Bay, right? Pull it up.
No. Green Bay plays the Panthers.
I'm pulling it up now. He's got the Bears. The Bears are middle of the pack as far as, you know, passing defense.
Yeah, and it's at home. Kirk in there.
It's at home, you know, so it's going to be in the dome, you know.
MVP Mitch lit it up in the dome last week. Better passer rating than Mahomes and Watson, his draft partners.
MVP Mitch. Look at Nate giving Mitch some props.
Yeah, the props.
They love Mitch. We need to get Mitch Justin for Christmas. A little Mitch Trubisky action for Nate.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we can figure something out.
You were talking about going to play in Canada. That's him. I'd take Wentz over Mitch all day long.
Man, I don't know. I don't know.
Real football.
Yeah, no, I got you, man. I don't know. But the fact that we even have to discuss Wentz or Mitch. Wentz has dropped quite a bit. All right. Well, everybody, it has been a lot of fun talking with you this evening. It's been great chatting with you, Justin, chatting with you, Nate. Everybody, good luck this week. It's a big week. It's likely the week before the championship, so there's a lot on the line. Trust your gut. You know, make your decisions. Listen to, you know, clearly injury reports and all that stuff. But once you make your decision, trust your gut. Ride it out. And hope for the best. And I really do hope if you've been listening to the show, I hope we've helped you enough to get here. And I hope we help you win a ship. Justin, I know you got something to say to the listeners.
Yeah, just keep loving each other. We're all in this together.
And Nate.
Yeah, good luck and good gambling. And keep staying positive and testing negative.
Good luck and good gambling. Yes, we do not suggest bad gambling. We only suggest good gambling on this show. Hey, how was that margarita in a can, my friend?
It's all right. Needs a little salt around the rim, but Their other ones I've had are better than the margarita. I won't have this one again, I don't think.
How about that? There was a ringing endorsement when he started the show. That must have really sucked.
No, I mean, their other flavors are better that I've had.
All right. You just sound very disappointed in it, Nate.
We try to get the endorsement.
After the show, go get a different flavor, because I want you to be a lot more positive this evening. You've gone.
I'm positive. I'm happy.
All right, good. All right, everybody.
I want to make sure that we thank MLO for the studio. Thank them for the feed. They're going to be dropping our episodes on their channel as well pretty soon. So a big thank you to MLO, and I just wanted to make sure I remember to get that out there.
Where can we find MLO?
Moonlighting Outdoors on YouTube. They also have a Facebook page, Moonlighting Outdoors.
Moonlighting Outdoors. Go check that out. Those are our brothers now, and we appreciate them, and we appreciate you for listening. Hope you come back next week, and we hope when you come back next week, you're playing for it all. You're playing for a championship. So go get those dubs so that we can see you guys next week. Thanks again.